We are continuing right now. This is section 2, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, part 4. What is the proof of being filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the proof? Well, Jesus told the disciples they would receive power after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He told them they would receive power after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting in this is this power that we receive when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not relegated to being outwardly demonstrated in just one way. It's power that can be used for whatever God desires. That's important to remember, because many people associate this power strictly and exclusively with signs, wonders, you know, healings, miracles, things like that. But yet this power can be demonstrated in any number of ways. So when Jesus told the disciples they would receive power after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't only for miracles and healings. He said, you know, you'll be witnesses unto me. The witnesses unto him was not exclusive to the healings, the miracles, and so forth. Jesus was a witness unto the Father. And what did that include? Well, it included him teaching what the Father wanted him to teach, but along with that, him ministering to people for healing, deliverance, devils cast out, and so forth. So we see, when you study the life of Jesus, you see that power being demonstrated in a variety of ways. Well, he said, we'll receive power after you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem, until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be filled with the Holy Spirit, till you receive power. All right? Sadly, many churches have translated that into you need to tarry for the Holy Ghost. And there are people who have, and you'll hear it said, you know, you need to tarry at the altar. And there are people who have tarried for years, because they're expecting God to just move on them in some sovereign fashion. Well, guess what? You cannot find tarrying anywhere else. Consider what happened when Peter was ministering to Cornelius' household. There was no tarrying. When Paul was in Ephesus, have you received the Holy Ghost? There was no tarrying. I mean, over and over again, when Peter and John went into Samaria, there was no tarrying. It's a matter of receiving. I remember over the years, I've ministered in a number of churches and ministered to people about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And there are people that have been filled and, you know, well, I tarried for years and didn't receive anything till now. Well, the reason for that is because it wasn't clearly explained to you what happens. And since I've explained it, it was easy for you to receive. Well, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the event Jesus had foretold took place. When this happened, there were three notable manifestations. Number one, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. There was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Notice there was a sound, but it doesn't say anything about people feeling a rushing mighty wind. There was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. That's Acts 2 verse 2. Number two, there was the appearance of what looked like cloven tongues of fire, which rested upon each person. There was the appearance of what looked like cloven tongues of fire which rested upon each person. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. The third notable manifestation, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 4. So those were three notable manifestations of what happened on that day of Pentecost. While the first two manifestations were very notable, the only manifestation that proved something had happened within them was that they spoke in tongues. The only manifestation that proved something had happened within them was that they spoke in tongues. Therefore, the initial evidence that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit was when they began speaking in tongues. I mean, you could have the rushing mighty wind. You could have the cloven tongues like as of fire. But when they opened their mouth and they began to speak in tongues, that was the proof that they had been filled. Not just had an experience with the sound of a wind and cloven tongues like as of fire, but they had had an experience with the Holy Spirit. It was an experience within, the initial evidence. They spoke with tongues. Now, in Acts chapter 8, Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached the gospel. When the people saw the miracles and heard what Philip preached, they accepted Jesus and were born again. Now, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 8. We need to see this process, what took place here. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to pick this up in Acts chapter 8, verse 5. So beginning here in verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And it was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." Now stop right there and think about this. It says that Philip had bewitched the people with sorceries, and they had declared, "This man is the great power of God." But when Philip showed up, what was happening through the ministry of Philip superseded anything that had been taking place through Simon. Whatever was demonstrated, however it happened, even Simon was amazed at this. And it says that Simon believed and was baptized, and that he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Well, then Peter and John went to Samaria for the purpose of ministering to the people, for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter and John went to Samaria for the purpose of ministering to the people, for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice there is a total separation of events here. Philip, we don't know how long Philip was ministering, but people are getting born again, and there's signs and wonders and incredible things are happening, even to the point that Simon was amazed at everything he was seeing. And so Peter and John go to Samaria for the purpose of ministering to the people, for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. See that? When the people were filled, something outwardly, something happened outwardly that was noticeable by others. Something happened outwardly that was noticeable by others. We pick it up in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now this is really interesting, because think about everything Philip did. People are being healed. There were miracles. I mean, just look at this list. People that were possessed of devils. The devils were cast out. All these healings. But in spite of all of that, and Simon was shocked by this, and he's following Philip, amazed at all these wonders, these signs that he was seeing, but he never asked Philip for that power. He never asked. It was only until something happened with these folks, when Peter and John ministered to them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, verse 18, when Simon saw, something happened that was visible, that was outward. He saw this. That's when he said, hey, listen, give me this power so that when I minister to people, they can be filled with the Holy Ghost. The only initial outward sign in the Bible that people are filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. The only initial outward sign in the Bible that people are filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. So Simon sees this. What is he seeing? He's seeing people getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in a language nobody understands. That amazed him more than anything else he had seen. And he says, now he wants his power. He said, okay, I've seen enough. I've seen signs, wonders, and miracles, but this thing, where people start talking in a language, this is incredible. I will pay for this. Well, we know the story that Peter rebuked him and so on. But that initial outward sign in the Bible that people are filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Now, in Acts chapter 10, while Peter was preaching to the people at Cornelius' house, the people were filled with the Holy Ghost. The thing that convinced Peter and his companions that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit, the thing that convinced Peter and his companions that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit, was that they heard them speak in tongues. They heard them speak in tongues. This was the only manifestation mentioned which they considered as proof that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. It's the only manifestation mentioned which they considered as proof that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, how did they know that? Because, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? In other words, it wasn't people falling out under the power of God. It wasn't people running up and down the aisles of Cornelius' house. It wasn't people going crazy. The one thing that happened, they are sitting there listening, and they have this experience with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in tongues. Now, when Peter is ministering, what's the pattern? Remember what he said on the day of Pentecost? Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You think he would have preached anything differently? Absolutely not. And so these people got filled with the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in water. You note this? While they were sitting there hearing, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, why is that important? Because there are some people out there going to tell you, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost until you've been baptized in water. Well, apparently that's not true. That's not God's rule. You know, that might be man's rule, but that's not God's rule. Well, in Acts chapter 19, you can go ahead and turn over there. Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. While there, he ministered to believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The initial outward evidence that they had been filled was that they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So once again, we see that speaking in tongues was the initial outward evidence that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a pattern in Scripture. I hope you're picking up on this. Repeatedly in Scripture, God has revealed that the initial proof that a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit is that he or she will speak in tongues. This is confirmed more than once in here, in Scripture. Speaking in tongues is a result of the Holy Spirit releasing His power in a person. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Speaking in tongues is a result of the Holy Spirit releasing His power in a person. Remember, I shared earlier that this power manifests itself in many different ways. Well, in this particular case, in this situation, talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, that power is moving in the individual so that that individual can speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is literally a miracle because it enables a Christian to do what would normally be impossible. Speak in a language that is unknown to the person speaking. Speaking in tongues is literally a miracle because it enables a Christian to do what would normally be impossible. Speak in a language that is unknown to the person speaking. Now, I need to throw a little extra out here on this. Even though people receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost, however you want to call it, they can still refuse to speak in tongues. They absolutely can. Because I've witnessed and I have actually been in services where people want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They truly want this. So they come up and they're being prayed for. And in some cases, you can tell they are having a powerful experience with God. You know, people like to refer to it, you know, the Holy Ghost was all over them. Maybe they're standing there and that power is touching them and they're kind of shaking because they're being impacted by the power of God. Maybe they start crying. And it's not about that kind of an experience, but these people are choosing to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, They pray a prayer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they mean it. They mean it from their heart. So guess what? God honors that act of faith on their part. However, a lot of them are afraid to open their mouth and begin to speak in tongues. I've seen some they're prayed for, and their mouth is like moving, but nothing's coming out. It's like, come on, you know, you can do this, you can do this. What I'm getting at is this. The moment a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the, filled with the Holy Ghost, they have the ability to speak in tongues. Whether they do it or not is up to them. You can choke it down. You can refuse to do it. I mean, think of it like this. Okay, imagine I'm the Holy Ghost, and I'm on the inside of you. And I say to you, say, I want a pizza. And you don't do anything. You just keep your mouth shut. And I said, say, I want a pizza. And you don't say anything. Say, I want a pizza. And you don't say anything. Now, the only reason you're not saying anything is because you're choosing not to say anything. I'm telling you to do this now in this example because I'm using language you understand. But see, the moment that you get born again is the moment the Holy Spirit, by an act of God's power and a miracle, you are instantly able to speak in a language that no human understands. Unless somehow God works a miracle and it's assigned to unbelievers. We'll talk about that another time. But you don't have to speak in tongues when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, but you can. Well, what happens, a lot of people, they're afraid to say anything. And it's mental. It's all mental. You have to open your mouth. You have to do this. And we'll talk about it a little bit further. The point I'm getting at is this. A person who truly wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit and prays to receive that infilling, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Whether or not they pray in tongues, that is totally up to them to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak forth that language. Now, how does a person get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues? How does this happen? Well, as shown in Scripture, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a matter of receiving Him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a matter of receiving Him. He will not force Himself on a person. And if you don't want this, it isn't going to happen. That's why in some of these churches, well, if God wants me to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, He'll just give it to me. God's already established in Scripture He wants you to, okay? But in your arrogance, He's going to respect your pride. And it's not going to happen. God can tell you right now, a lot of churches, where they say things like that, you know, they might ought to be glad God isn't just doing that. Because then they'd have to explain to their congregation why something just happened that we've been telling you for decades is not for today. I can remember when I was a kid growing up in church, Baptist church, all right, we didn't believe in any of this. Oh, we believed in the existence of the Holy Spirit, but we didn't believe in what I'm sharing with you. But there was a hymn that we sang, and I forget the title of it, but in that hymn, it said, Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, thy floodgates of mercy on us throw open wide. Okay, we sang that, not believing it was going to happen. Because I remember years later, after I had my own personal day of Pentecost, you know, and I'm thinking about it, I said, you know what? Boy, what if God, in His sense of humor, had said, all right, you're singing it, you must want it there. All 800 of you, start speaking in tongues. Could you imagine that? Oh my goodness, they'd have closed the church. Even so, as shown in Scripture, the Holy Spirit, it's receiving, it's a matter of receiving, and He won't force Himself on anybody. It's similar to being born again. A person believes on Jesus and receives Him as Savior to be born again. Likewise, a person believes in being filled with the Holy Spirit. He believes, you got to believe this, believes in being filled with the Holy Spirit, desires to be filled, and then receives Him. You have to believe it, and then you have to desire it, because there are a lot of people out there, Christians, who'll say, oh yeah, I believe it's possible, but you know, it's not for me. It's not for everybody. Well, then you don't desire it. You believe in it, but you don't desire it. You have to believe it, and you have to desire it. Without believing in and desiring to be filled, a person will not receive the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you can have a situation where a person's born again and they don't understand what I'm sharing with you. But in their heart, they want everything. They truly want everything that God has for them. And you know, it's very possible that that person, born again, can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if their heart is such, God, I'm open, I'll receive anything, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Then yeah, it's very possible that God interprets that as, this is permission, you want everything, and you truly want it, I see your heart, so therefore, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. You get that gift of speaking in tongues. John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered, saying unto them, unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is really interesting. I mean, we could really go off on a tangent here with this one. Jesus said you must be born again, but then Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost and with fire. And in John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 32, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Therefore, when a person is born again, he needs to allow Jesus to do what John said, baptize him with the Holy Spirit. Baptize him with the Holy Spirit. It's just a matter of believing, desiring, and then, you know, letting Jesus do this. Well, speaking in tongues is not the strange mystery that many people seem to have implied. Speaking in tongues is not the strange mystery that many people seem to have implied. The Holy Ghost does not forcefully impose himself on a person and make him speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost does not forcefully impose himself on a person and make him speak in tongues. That's one of the fears that many Christians have. It's like, well, what's going to happen? You know, I mean, am I going to be walking through the grocery store, then all of a sudden, you know, shabba-labba-ding-dong. No, it doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit, now this is so important, the Holy Spirit does not violate the will of a person. The Holy Spirit does not violate the will of a person, making it impossible for the person not to speak in tongues. Scripture explains that when people spoke in tongues, it was them doing the speaking, not the Holy Spirit forcing them to speak. It was them doing the speaking. It was them doing the speaking, not the Holy Spirit forcing them to speak. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they began to speak with other tongues. Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues. Acts 19:6, they spake with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:6, if I come unto you speaking with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:13, him that speaketh in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:14, I pray in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:18, I speak with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39, forbid not to speak with tongues. See that? On that last one right there. All of these verses, it reveals the individual is the one speaking, not the Holy Ghost. The individual. And then this last one, forbid not to speak with tongues. Yeah. Like if the Holy Spirit decides to do it, and you're going to tell him, no, you can't. You understand what I'm getting at? You're not going to boss the Holy Spirit around. And what I mean is, if it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking through the person, and the person, like they just stand there and the mouth is open, and all of a sudden this voice is coming out. No, that's not, this is not some kind of a horror story. Arr, I am the Holy Ghost. Oh no, what is that? It doesn't work that way. In every example, the individual is speaking by choice, not by coercion. The individual is speaking by choice, not by coercion. A person makes a conscious decision to pray in tongues, a conscious decision to pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit instantaneously supplies the language and the words to speak. In the natural, it would be like a person instantly being able to speak Russian, even though he was never previously able to speak that language. And really, not just Russian. I mean, pick any language you don't know and put it in the blank. The difference is that the language of tongues is not earthly in origin. The language of tongues is not earthly in origin. It is a language that originates in heaven from God. It is a language that originates in heaven from God. And this is the part that really confounds me. I mean, now that I understand all this, too many Christians want to know, okay, let me give you an example. This language is tongues. It's not earthly in origin. I remember one time I was with Gary Carpenter, and we were with some people, about four or five people, and they believed in being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues and all that, but they wanted to go back home and minister to other people about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And the man we were talking with, he asked us if we could record ourselves praying in tongues so that the people they would minister to would know what to say. And Gary and I kind of looked at each other. I think he was waiting for me to respond, and I was waiting for him to respond. But anyway, Gary spoke up and said, that's not how it works. I mean, you can't train people. It's not like I'm training you how to speak in Spanish or whatever. You can't train people to speak in tongues. This is coming from the Holy Spirit. It originates with God. It doesn't originate with man. The language and the words, when you're praying in tongues, will not be mentally understood by the person speaking. They will not be mentally understood. A lot of people have asked me, well, okay, you know, yeah, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but and I want to speak in tongues, but what do I say? What do you say? I don't know. Well, you're the one telling me to do this. I mean, what do I say? No. And what, again, we're talking about a mental block, because when you tell people this originates from God, administered by the Holy Spirit, but you're asking a human being to tell you what to say, no, it doesn't work like that. This is a matter of you receiving from God. That's like me explaining to you how you got born again. All I can tell you is you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the sin nature was removed. Well, how was it removed? I don't know how this works in the Spirit. I just know that's what it says. And then, you know, you're born again. Well, the language and the words will not be mentally understood by the person speaking. This is because the Holy Spirit is supplying the language to the person's spirit, not their mind. To their spirit, not their mind. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, it states, Paul wrote, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Meaning my mental comprehension of what I'm speaking, it's not there. I don't understand it because it's not an earthly language. It is impossible for human logic to explain this. You simply can't. You cannot do it. It is impossible for man's religious traditions to explain this. It is impossible for man's religious traditions to explain this. There are people that would try to minister to other folks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and they would want them to say something like, you know, okay, just say watermelon. Just keep saying watermelon faster, watermelon, 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 and then eventually their tongue gets all tied up. You got it, you got it, you got it. Well, maybe that's helped some people, okay? But I can't imagine the Holy Spirit inside saying, watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just, anyway, moving on. Let me tell you something. The longer you're around, the more you see things that just are astounding. But nevertheless, religious traditions can't explain this. It is a work performed by God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the born-again spirit of a person. How in the world are the lame made whole? Well, I don't know, but they just are. Okay, how do Christians speak in tongues? Well, I don't know. Well, they just are. Because again, this is the power of God being demonstrated in a language. Now, when a person first begins to speak in tongues, he may not think it is the Holy Spirit. I've encountered this before. He may think that he is the one making it up out of his mind and that it is nothing but a lot of meaningless gibberish. And I try to explain that to people. You know, when you're speaking in tongues, you're not going to understand it and you're going to think that you're the one that's making it all up and it's just a bunch of this and that. I go, no, no, that's not the way it is. Because you're asking God for this gift, and He will not deny you. While it is true that the person is using his own lips and tongue to do the speaking, it is the Holy Spirit supplying the language. Very important. You are using your own lips and tongue to do the speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit supplying the language. It is important to remember that when a person truly desires to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the sounds that come out as he speaks will be the gift of speaking in tongues. It will be the gift of speaking in tongues. And it may not sound at all like the people around you who are praying in tongues. It's whatever the Holy Spirit is giving you to speak, whatever you need to pray at that particular moment. So you can't judge it because it sounds different from the other person. No, it's all what's happening between you and the Holy Spirit at that moment. It's also important to remember that the Holy Spirit will not interrupt a person who chooses to keep speaking in his own language. He will not interrupt a person who chooses to keep speaking in his own language. Therefore, if a person prays to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but keeps saying things like, "I worship you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus," the Holy Spirit will not interrupt with tongues. And I cannot tell you, I've had this happen. I've ministered to people, they want to be filled, they want to speak in tongues. And so I lay hands on them, I minister, I follow the pattern in Scripture, and I say, okay, now I begin to speak in tongues, and I start praying in tongues, you know, and they stand there, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I tell them, stop speaking in English and start speaking in tongues. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stop. Speak. They don't listen to me. And then they get disappointed. Well, nothing happened. Once again, I've been tarrying for 40 years. And it hasn't happened. No, the reason it hasn't happened is because you're not following instructions. You're not yielding to the Holy Spirit and speaking forth what sounds like baby talk, what sounds like gibberish, what sounds like what. It is the gift, the miracle gift of praying in tongues. He will not interrupt you. If you're praising Jesus, trust me, the Holy Spirit is not going to interrupt you praising with Jesus and just start forcing you to speak in tongues. If you could speak in English and in Chinese, I could tell you, all right, here, read this paragraph in English, and you could read it. Then I say, read it in Chinese, and boom, you could immediately switch over and read it in Chinese. That's the way it is. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you receive that gift of speaking in tongues, you can pray in tongues anytime you want to. It's just a matter of what you decide to do. Well, the following is a sample prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. At the end of the prayer, begin to pray in tongues. Remember that your mind will not understand the words or the language because this will all be coming out of your spirit. It may sound like you are just making a lot of unintelligible, worthless sounds, but you will be praying in tongues as a result of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So everybody go ahead and stand. As far as I know, all of you in here filled with the Holy Ghost and can pray in tongues. I don't know about everybody watching or listening to this, but I'm going to lead in this prayer. And at the end of this prayer, I'm going to start praying in tongues. You make that decision to stop speaking in English or whatever your language is and just start praying in tongues. Now just repeat this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for being my Lord and Savior. John the Baptist said, you would baptize us with the Holy Spirit. I am asking you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. I receive this baptism from you right now, and I thank you for doing this. Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life. Fill me just like the Bible describes. I ask you to give me the gift of speaking in tongues. I thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody keep praying in tongues. And while you're praying in tongues, just listen to me. Those of you that have just been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to continue to pray in tongues. And when the service is over today, sometime, get alone with God, wherever that would be, get alone with God and begin to pray in tongues. Keep praying in tongues, because what this does, it enables the Holy Spirit to confirm to you that you have received a miracle from God and that you are now praying in a language that God Himself has established on the inside of you. And you don't have to be super loud. It can be just barely a whisper. But the key is to continue to do this because the Holy Spirit will help you understand it more and more. Now, starting next week will be Section 3. And in Section 3, we are going to take a very in-depth and detailed study of what speaking in tongues, and especially praying in tongues, is all about, why we need it, why we need to do it, what it accomplishes in our lives, and what the end result will be. So, that's starting next week. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing during this Laying the Foundations course. And I pray that people not only hear, but receive, and then apply what they're hearing. I thank you for the work that is being done in each one of us. And Jesus, once again, thank you so much for being our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our constant companion, the one who never leaves and never forsakes. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Father, prepare our hearts and minds for what you're going to continue to do beyond this service. And I praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.